So today we're going to focus on an investigation by your staff into the deaths of North Carolina veterans who died of COVID-19. They were in veterans nursing homes owned by the state but managed by a private company.
It's actually three pieces. It was so long, I asked Tommy Goldsmith, our reporter, if we could break it up by topic. So the first day we kicked off very strong with a piece about, you know, we have these 36 veterans who were in veterans homes. There's four around the state. And there's one company that's based in Georgia, which has had the contract to run these. And they get paid 9.25% of all the annual revenues to do this. And we've had 36 veterans at three of the four homes who have died. One big outbreak was in Fayetteville, and a second big outbreak was in Salisbury. It just examines the role of privatized healthcare. And there has long been concern about, this is not new, about the profit motive within healthcare. Does that undermine the quality of care? Does it undermine, you know, how much you're spending on staffing? Tommy had done stories previously looking at the fact that many of the nursing homes that had outbreaks have had problems with staffing. The Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which does the regulation over nursing homes, they monitor staffing. And it's interesting, up until about a few years ago, the way that they monitored staffing was they asked for self-reports from these nursing homes. But actually, a couple of years ago now, CMS changed the way they do that reporting. And they actually look at the tax filings from these organizations. So there's less fudging, let's put it that way. So, and we've heard this before, that people who work in nursing homes, they frequently need to have a second job in order to make ends meet because they're only making $13, $14, maybe $15 an hour. You know, and these are people who we task with taking care of our most vulnerable members of society. And, and we're paying them at a rate where they can't support themselves to do this work. It was interesting, a few weeks ago, you may remember, we ran a story about looking at sanitation workers as essential workers. And one of the guys we profiled, oh, he has a side hustle. What's his side gig? He works two shifts a week in a nursing home. This is a problem because these folks they're out in the community, they're circulating, you know, they might be standing behind you online in the grocery store. And, you know, this is why someone like Mandy Cohen will say you need to wear a mask because you need to keep these folks from getting sick. And part of it has to do with the contracts, right? If you're a state and you are contracting with a private veterans home, I'm not against privatization, but as the entity that's paying for it, the state could be pushing these folks to say, you know what, here's what the staffing ratio for your workers needs to be during the day, staffing ratio at night, and here's what the minimum pay needs to be, you know, or something like that. There needs to be, or let's just do some more oversight and get in there more than once a year. Or one of the things that, you know, reporters always look for are these forms. They're the 2567s. They're basically a document that is published by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And CMS does the oversight for nursing homes, but it's the state officials who actually do the boots on the ground. And those forms, those complaint forms, they get generated when someone files a complaint. So, you know, you think your dad got a bed sore and you're unhappy about it. So you call a local state office and they send in an inspector. And the inspector now is essentially deputized by the feds. And they go in and they take a look and they fill out this form and they come up with a plan of action for the facility. And they make a determination whether this really was neglect or whether it was just, you know, like, sometimes, like, you know, you should have moved this guy a little bit more. And so they come up with a plan of action. And then those are made public within 24 hours, if I'm not mistaken, of the inspection being done, and they're all anonymized, right? They'll say, nurse number one said this, and nurse number two said this. So we never know exactly who said what, but the anonymization allows for people to speak more freely. And so that's why those documents are really important for us. And so maybe, you know, if states did a little more oversight and went in, not just because there's a complaint, but maybe if they did like a surprise visit.
So I noticed your report triggered a response from the governor's office.
Well, I mean, that came in at the very, I mean, literally at the last minute. We were formatting and getting ready to post the story last night for it to go live this morning when we got an email from the governor's office saying that we would like to take a look at this. On Wednesday, there was an oversight committee hearing in Congress looking at veterans nursing homes. So there's attention at all levels of government to this. And unfortunately, you know, these days when there's a congressional hearing, usually within 24 hours, there's a transcript up online. Unfortunately, the congressional transcript was not up. We didn't get a chance to pour through the whole thing. I'm sensing that there'll be some follow-up stories in our future.
Mm-hmm. Any angles in particular your staff is looking into?
Yeah, we're going to continue to watch what happens in Congress. And Tommy has just gotten a small grant to examine, and this is, it's going to take, you know, a month or so of reporting, a small grant to examine what has actually worked. So we're not just looking at, you know, the things that went wrong in nursing homes. Tommy is starting to look across the country and across the state at things that went well. You remember we did that story about the strike teams? So that was what gave us the idea, like, hey, let's look for things that actually worked, that are replicable, that maybe aren't super expensive, and that, you know, that nursing homes and assisted living centers can use as best practices. So we'd like to examine that and take a look.